I am very humbled and thankful to be here this morning. I visited here. Some of you may remember, and some not, that I visited here a year ago, fall in your fall meeting. But I know you most of all through Brother Rhodes and through Brother Parker, and I appreciate both these brethren so much. Brother Leroy has been a big help to me and a big encouragement to me in times when I really need it, which we need it all the time. But I'm thankful to God for Brother Leroy. He means something special to me, and Brother Parker as well. I would invite you to turn with me in your Bible this morning to the first chapter of Matthew. And I know that prayers have gone up for me. As some of you knew, I'd be preaching today, and I appreciate it, and I know that they have gone up for me. But I ask you to continue to pray for me as I try to speak to you for a few moments this morning. Matthew, the first chapter, and we'll begin reading at the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to stop there just a minute and make the 21st verse is the one I want to focus on, but just make a few introductory remarks about the scriptures that we read. Jesus and Mary, or Joseph and Mary, it says they were espoused. They were, we would probably use the term engaged, but the word was actually stronger than that. And the custom of that day, if you were espoused to someone, that means that you were almost as good as married. And a matter of fact, you didn't just, as some people would do today, if you want to break an engagement, you didn't just go to your future husband or future wife and hand your ring back to them and say, I've changed my mind. It was a little more involved in that. So there was an expected, strongly expected marriage that was to take place. And we know Luke's account of how that Jesus was conceived goes into more detail about how that the Holy Ghost came to Mary and told her that she would conceive and that the child that she would have would be the Savior. And Mary, when this happened to her, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist and who at the time was expecting John the Baptist. Had been for 3 months. And a wonderful thing to me is that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, that the child leaped for joy, the Bible says, in her womb at the salutation of Mary. And Elizabeth knew that Mary was the bearer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Mary stayed there with her for about 3 months. And after that 3 months' time, evidently, is where it's picked up here. And when she came back and Joseph realized that she was going to have a child. And it was before, it says, they had come together. They had had no relations. And Joseph God doesn't do anything by accident. It was not an accident that He chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. And it was not an accident that Mary was a spouse to a man named Joseph, a kind man. We know very little about him. But he was a kind man, a merciful man, and I believe a righteous man. And he didn't want to make her a public example, although he could have. And as he thought on these things and pondered on these things, while he was sleeping, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God is often appeared to, especially in the Old Testament, would appear to His people in dreams. And He may still do it to some extent today. But He came to Joseph in a dream, and He told Joseph that he did not fear to take Mary to be his wife. That yes, she's with child, but that child is of the Holy Ghost. And Mary had not been unfaithful to him. And what he said in the 21st verse, I guess if we would try to put a title to what I'm going to speak about today, it would be the gospel that was preached to Joseph. The angel of the Lord preached the gospel to Joseph here in this 21st verse. He said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." There's a lot said in that, and I will do probably a poor job of trying to explain some of that today. But there's three main points, or three main words or phrases that I want to pick out of this verse. First of all, it says that he shall save his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oftentimes, around this time of year, just a month or two later, people supposedly celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And a great emphasis at that time is placed upon the fact that he was born in a manger and that the fact that he was a little baby. And that is all true. Jesus Christ came into this world. Great, Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. How great a mystery is that? That God that created the heavens and the earth. The God in whom we live and move and have our being, that God could come to the earth in the form of a little baby and be born of humble parents in a manger in Bethlehem. Our mind cannot understand that. The world scoffs at it, laughs at it, but it was true. Jesus, this child that Mary was going to have was God incarnate. The Bible says in John's Gospel, John was one of my favorite passages of Scripture, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then we come down to about the 13th or 14th verse, and it said, "And the Word became flesh," or was made flesh, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the one that the angel was telling Joseph about, that Mary was going to have a child, and his name would be Jesus. He wasn't an ordinary man. He was God, and he was man. I don't even really like to use that term. Really, what we have to say when we refer to Jesus Christ was that He was God-man. God and man together. Now, many of you people here, I don't know. Some of you I've seen before, but I know it's this brother and his wife that came in to sit beside us, and they have these lovely children. And that little girl that's sitting between you there, she is your daughter, I assume, and your daughter also. Which part of that little girl belongs to the father and which part belongs to the mother? You can't tell. She is the product of the mother and the father. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is a product of His Heavenly Father, God the Father. And He's also the product of Mary, a fleshly woman, a woman of the flesh, a woman with flesh. So you can't say that Jesus was part God and part man. He is God-man. This is the He that the angel is telling Joseph about. The Bible says concerning Him, you remember the time that the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus and trying to, they wanted to put Him out of business is what they wanted to do, and they sent some of their people to Him to take Him. And they came, and they came back and reported to these chief priests, and they said, "Where is He? Why didn't you bring Him back?" And they said, "Never man spake like this man." Jesus was no ordinary man. He performed miracles. Now there are other miracles that have been performed at different times in the Scriptures by people, different people. But the miracles that Jesus performed were miracles that nobody else could ever perform. One of my favorite stories in the Bible and favorite people in the Bible is the man we find in the... We won't turn and read that at this time, but over in the 8th chapter of John. You remember the man that was blind? He was born blind, the Bible says. And I understand that he probably was born with empty eye sockets. And Jesus calls that man to see. And the religious leaders were furious at this because they didn't get any praise out of it. All the praise was going to Jesus. And they went to this man and they began to question him and ask him how that he could be healed by this man, how he'd been healed and who had done it and how could Jesus do this, they said. They said, "That man's just a sinner." Of course, he wasn't. And that man replied to him and he said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But," he said, "all I know is that I was blind and now I see." And he said, "From the history of the world, there's never been a man that was born blind that had his sight restored." Jesus could do that. This is the man that the angel is telling Joseph about, this little baby that was to be born. He raised the dead. And you remember the story of Lazarus who died. And the Lord went to... He had heard that he was sick. And the disciples said, "We need to go. You know, he's sick." And Jesus said, "No, it's not time yet." He wanted to wait. And he had a purpose in that. And everything he did, he had a purpose in. And we'll deal with that a little bit more later. But when he went to the grave site, and Jesus told them to roll away the stone from the tomb. And Mary, the mother of Lazarus, said, "Lord, by this time he stinks. He stinketh. He's been dead 4 days." Now that's why Jesus waited the length of time that he did to let everyone know that there wasn't any hope that Lazarus was still alive. It couldn't have been that he had fainted or that he went into some kind of coma, because when they rolled the stone away, they smelled the dead. Have you ever smelled a dead corpse? It's an awful smell. And if you've ever smelled it, you'll never forget it. The man was dead. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says that he came forth and he was bound from head to foot. I used to, you know how you'll read the Bible and sometimes One day you'll read something. I think you mentioned this, Brother Rose, last night. You'll read something. You'll say, why didn't I ever see that before? I used to have the idea that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, that Lazarus came walking out of the tomb. He couldn't walk. He was bound hand and foot. When Jesus said, come forth, brother and sister, he just came forth and stood there bound hand and foot, and they had to loose him and let him go. This is the one that the angel was telling Joseph about. He, this is Jesus. And when he died, he didn't die an ordinary death. You can look in the different accounts of the four Gospels that they give of Jesus' death. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the centurion who saw him die. And he had seen a lot of men die. And they each give a different account of what this man said, which they all agree. But he said, surely he was a righteous man. Matthew's account, I believe, said that he said, surely this was the Son of God. Because he didn't die an ordinary death. Do you know there's going to come a time, if the Lord doesn't come, that everyone in this room is going to die. And when we die, we're not going to die the same way that Jesus did. Jesus said that I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up. And when he died, the Bible gives the account of this. And I love these. I believe it's John's Gospel, the account where he said, it is finished. And the Bible says that he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. His head didn't fall down because life was gone out of him. He bowed his head and voluntarily yielded his life. You and I don't have the ability to do that, but Jesus did. So when Joseph talked, or when the angel told Joseph about this he that was going to save his people from their sins, he wasn't an ordinary man. Death couldn't hold him. He laid 3 days in the tomb, and when the time come for him to rise, like he'd said he was going to, he came out of the tomb. And later on, after he was on earth for about 40 days, he ascended into heaven, and there's never been a man in bodily, in his own body, that left this earth and entered into heaven. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that he shall save his people from their sins. Well, I guess all the background that I gave there, and I love to talk about it anyway, but to prove that he was able to do what the angel said he was going to do. He didn't say that he might save his people from their sins. He didn't say that he's going to try to save his people from their sins. He said he shall save his people from their sins. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but this Lord Jesus Christ that we're talking about here, this God-man was a God-man of purpose. He didn't do things accidentally. Once again, I remember years ago, before I was converted, but I've heard the Bible all my life, and my parents took me to church when I was a child. But I used to have, you remember, some of you, I know the older generation especially remember some of these old cowboy shows that they used to have on television, like the Cisco Kid and the Lone Ranger, and you know those men, they went around doing good things, doing good deeds. But it seemed like they didn't really have any purpose to their life. They just kind of drifted around, and everywhere they'd go to, there'd be some circumstance come up where they'd wind up being a hero to somebody. And I used to have the idea that Jesus, when he was on earth, that he just kind of wandered around from here to there. But that is not true. Every step that he took and everything that he did had a purpose in it. I know you all remember the story of the Samaritan woman. And you remember the scripture there in John, the 4th chapter, where it says Jesus, where it said concerning Jesus that he must needs go through Samaria. He went through Samaria because he had somebody there that he was going to save. Another one that's a favorite of mine, if you want to look in your Bibles in Mark, the 4th chapter, and about the 35th verse, this is when Jesus had begun his ministry, and this is at the time when there were multitudes, great crowds that were coming to hear him preach. And this was the occasion, remember, where there were so many people there that he got in a ship and went just a little ways out from shore and preached to the multitude there from the ship as they were on the shore. Now, these modern-day so-called evangelists would have said that he was right on top of his game right then. And the last thing that they would advise him to do at that time was to leave that place because he had a crowd. Now, he had a crowd there to preach to. But the Bible says there in that 35th verse, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, that was his disciples, he said, let us pass over to the other side. And when they'd sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there also with him other little ships. Well, they started across this sea. And as they were going over this sea, a great storm came up. That's the time that Jesus was asleep, and the disciples came down and waked him up and said, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose, the Bible says in the 39th verse, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So they had left the multitude, gone through a storm, and when they got over to the other side, in the 5th verse there, and as they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, if you read this account, I know you're familiar with it. Jesus left the multitude, went across the sea through a storm to meet a maniac, a man that was possessed with demons. That's wonderful to me. He had a purpose. And if you read that whole account, he cast the demons out of that man. And the people were amazed because they found this man clothed and in his right mind. And the man wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you stay here. He had cast the demons out of the man, and they'd gone into a herd of swine. And the swine had run into the sea and drowned. And the people that lived there asked Jesus if he would leave their coast, because he had gotten into their pocketbook a little bit. Some of you, my name is a little strange, or not a common name. I'll give you this as just an aside. I read somewhere in a book that gives the history of people's names, how people's names came to be what it is. And evidently my ancestors guarded or herded hogs. You know, if you guarded sheep, they called you a sheep herder, and eventually that was shortened and just been a shepherd. Well, if you guarded hogs, they would say you were a hog herder, and eventually that was shortened and just hoggered. That's where my name came from, as far as I know. But those hoggards that were there that day, they begged Jesus to depart from their coast. But my friend, Jesus had left the multitude, went through a storm to see one man, and after he had healed him, he got back in the boat. and left. Jesus doesn't do things by accident. He is a God of purpose. And He's a Savior that's able to save. He shall save His people from their sins. Now the last thing that I want to talk about just for a moment. It said He shall save His people. He didn't say that He's going to save some people, but He's going to save His people from their sins. That tells us a lot. First of all is that His people need to be saved. There are some today that think that you're not really that bad. But we are all sinners. There's no hope for any of us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And something else that I want to mention here that's often left out. He didn't say that He was going to save the people so they'd go to heaven. Now I believe in heaven, and I believe that heaven is going to be the final state of all of God's people. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." But we don't want to be saved just so we can go to heaven. If you have ever been saved, if you know what it is to have the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be saved from your sins. Those sins. That last song that we sang, one of my favorite lines in that song, when He talks about from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, when I view my home and take my flight, and then He says, what? This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise. Oh my, how do those people of God detest so much this flesh that we have? This flesh that sins. This flesh that will not let us serve God the way we want to. This flesh that is constantly tempted. We, as God's people, need to be saved from our sins. Now, everybody wants to go to heaven. Well, I shouldn't say that. I said, nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody really doesn't want to go to heaven. Brother Lowell Miles, a friend of mine, passed away. Some of you, I don't know if you ever met him or not, Brother Rhodes, but he was talking about a time that he was getting ready to go to a meeting. He and his brother, they'd stopped at a restaurant there in a little old town that they lived in to eat breakfast before they left, and he saw somebody that he knew, and they asked him where he was going. He told them, said, well, we're going to go to a meeting over here. It was about 200 or 300 miles away. And he said, what do y'all do at that meeting? He said, we'll sing some and then we'll have some preaching. He said, we'll usually have one or two preachers. And then we'll stop and eat. And then we'll sing some more and then we'll have some more preaching. And then we'll stop and eat. And then the next morning when we get up, we'll go back and we'll have some more singing and some more preaching. And the fellow looked at him and he said, you mean you're going to drive 200 miles to do that? Well, that's kind of funny and humorous to think about in a way. But you know what? That's what God's people love to do. They love to meet and to worship and to praise the Lord. And throughout eternity, when we go to be with the Lord, that's what we're going to do. And if you're a sinner and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know how bad off that you are, then you would be miserable if you got to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell, but really and truly, everybody doesn't want to go to heaven. It's those people that the Bible says and that the angel told Joseph about. He shall save His people from their sins. And brothers and sisters, if you've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessed blessing it is. And we can praise the Lord, and we will throughout eternity, for what Jesus Christ has done for us. I thank you for your kind attention.